Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. Today on the Wednesday edition of the KGNC Golden Spread, we're talking Texas dairy, and I have with me Mr. Mike Scouten, owner and operator of Mission Dairy outside of Hereford, Texas. How are you doing today, Mike?
Bryce, I'm doing wonderful. Looking forward to the chance of rain that we've got this week.
I know that we all need some rain, and whoever's praying, please keep on praying because we all need it of some sort. Well, to always start us off, Mike, we always talk some blocks and barrels. How are things turning out for us on this report?
Well, I think they're looking a little bit better. We've had a couple reports that we'll talk about a little bit later in our report, but what we're seeing is that the interest in blocks and barrels is there again. We saw that block cheese closed at $1.99¾ per pound, and that was up 4¼ cents with 5 lots being traded. We saw that barrel cheese closed at $1.99 per pound, and that was up 5¼ cents with 3 lots being traded. Same level of interest over on the butter as well. We saw that butter closed at $2.95¾ per pound, up 2¾ cents per pound with 12 lots being traded. So lots of interest in the butter, and I think some of that has to do with that cold storage report that we will talk about later. The non-fat dry milk closed at $1.68 per pound, and that was up a penny with 3 lots being traded. And then finally at the CME, we saw that dry whey closed at 46.5 cents per pound. That was up a penny and 3/4 with 1 lot being traded.
Well, this one's my favorite report. We're talking milk production, talking about some winners and losers. Mike, who got the golden milk can this month?
Well, we're going to hold that suspense until last, but Bryce, you are right. This is also my favorite report. Love to see which states are gaining in cow numbers, that valuable asset needed for milk production, and which states kind of lost it a little bit. So we'll start with the losers. Arizona was down 0.2%, holding cow numbers steady, but losing about 5 pounds per cow. We saw that Florida was down 7.5%, losing 10,000 cows. And then the upper Midwest, pretty much a steady trend here. Illinois down 3.5%, losing 3,000 cows. Indiana down 3.5%, losing 9,000 cows. Michigan down 1%, losing 16,000 cows. Minnesota down 1%, losing 12,000 cows. We saw that New York was down 0.2%, losing 7,000 cows. Ohio down 1.5%, losing 9,000 cows. Pennsylvania down 0.5%, losing 8,000 cows. Utah down 3%, losing 3,000 cows. And then the state of Washington down 4.2%, losing 12,000 cows. So had a little bit out there in the West that lost some, but definitely saw a fair amount of upper Midwest loss of production. Going over to the states that are gaining in milk production, we saw that the number one dairy state, California, was up 0.2%, gaining 3,000 cows, but holding milk production steady. We saw that Colorado was up 3%, gaining 4,000 cows. The state of Georgia still been on a rampage lately. They have gained 12%, gaining 10,000 cows. Iowa was up 3%, gaining 6,000 cows. Kansas up 3%, gaining 1,000 cows and 35 pounds per cow production. We saw that Oregon, after many months of being on the downslide, has gained 1.5%, gaining 1,000 cows. South Dakota, that home run hitter for the last 6 months, has gained 14.7%, gaining 3,000 cows. So very stellar performance there. And then the number two dairy state, Wisconsin, up 1.5%, losing 3,000 cows, but gaining 35 pounds per cow in milk production. So they did it the very hard way. And of course, when we look at milk production, we look at the states of local concern. And what we're seeing over on the New Mexico side is still the same downturn that we've been seeing for almost the last year and a half, and that they have lost 12.5% in production and lost 37,000 cows. So still tough sledding over on the New Mexico side. Over here on the Texas side, we're seeing that production gain by 7% and gain 24,000 cows. And that 24,000 cow mark is the actual largest gain in cow units of any of the top 23 dairy states. So hats off to our producers here in the state of Texas and the job they're doing of being able to maintain cattle and keep them in production. As we look at the Golden Milk Can Award, certainly South Dakota, very well deserving, 14.7% received that Golden Milk Can Award, and hats off to the producers in Georgia for getting that 12% increase.
Well, Mike, I have like a general question. You know, when we lose cattle and stuff, we've talked about this before, how much does it affect, you know, our markets and everything when it comes all across the board for milk production? Is it a huge influx? Does it not really change anything? How does that, you know, affect us?
Well, when we lose cattle, typically it depends on where the cattle are being lost. Is there a manufacturing facility in that area? In this case, there is. And on the New Mexico side, we have Southwest Cheese over there.
Mm-hmm.
What it causes is a cost in production, because now maybe some dairies over on the New Mexico side that were actually closer to the plant are no longer in existence, so they're having to haul the milk further to get it to the Southwest Cheese plant. So that adds to cost of production. So it certainly does have an economic effect when we lose cows in certain areas.
Well, Mike, we talk about it every once in a great while. How did our cold storage turn out this week?
Well, cold storage I found to be a fairly bullish report. We saw that the June American type cheese was up 4.7% in storage and down 1% or 10 million pounds from the May numbers, and that compares to a five-year average that normally sees a decrease of about 11 million pounds. So not getting much of a decrease, or actually getting a less than five-year decrease in storage on American type cheese is a very viable thing. Normally that's the last product to be pulled off. When we look at other cheeses, they were up 5% year over year and up 1% or 4.5 million from the May numbers. And that compares to a five-year average that normally sees a decrease of about 31,000 pounds. So to see that large increase on other cheeses, the Goudas, the mozzarellas, and everything else, the Havartis, whatever cheeses you want to look at, means that we are producing cheeses that are being made to order, and they're clearing out fairly quickly. So that's a very good thing. When we look at the total cheese storage, it was up 5% year over year, but down 0.5% or 6.8 million pounds from the May numbers. And that compares to a five-year average that normally sees a decrease of about 11 million pounds. So not quite the decrease that we see on the five-year average, but still for it to be in other types of cheeses and not the American-type cheese is a very good thing. And then we saw what I consider a fairly bullish number over on the butter as well, and obviously the CME agrees with me that butter prices will probably push a little higher. We saw that it was down 20% year over year, but up 3% or 10 million pounds from the May numbers, and that compares to a five-year average that normally sees a decrease of about 1 million pounds. So a little bit more butter in storage. But with the heat that we've had and this starting to open up what I call butter season here in another month, we will probably see those storage numbers move downward. And again, the CME is also saying the same thing. They've pushed up the butter prices as well.
Well, we always talk some class threes and fours. How did that pan out for us?
Very good. Tuesday, we saw some double-digit increases over on the class threes. July trading at the 22.49 mark. We got the August trading at a 20.90 mark. September trading at 20.67. The fourth quarter opens up in October at $21 and closes in December at 20.70. So strong pricing throughout the entire fourth quarter. And then as we move into the first quarter of 2023, we see that the January is trading at 19.90 and then down to a 19.40. in the month of March. Over on the Class 4 side, almost a $3 lead on the Class 3 side. So that means that the powder butter is certainly leading the way in pricing. We've got July trading at 25.86, August trading at 24.55, September trading at 23.60 on the Class 4. When we move into the fourth quarter, we're seeing October start out at 22.60 and finish out the year in December at 21.50, and then first quarter of 2023 Class 4. We're seeing it open up in January at 2075 and close in March at 2021.
Well, we always wrap up with some dairy RPs. How did that turn out for this week?
Much better. We're starting to see just a little bit of opportunity open up on some of these, and I think that has to do with those reports that came out. We saw fourth quarter Class 3 trading a 1966 for 34 cents. That's probably the best value on the board right now. We've got first quarter Class 3 at 1852 for 45 cents. And then second quarter, Class 3 at 1805 for 59 cents. I don't see much interest in that one right there. That is way below break-even numbers. Going over to quarter 4 on Class 4, it's 2095 for 47 cents. Probably a very good value. We've got quarter 1 trading a 1946 for 63 cents, and quarter 2 trading an 1885 for 80 cents. So, those types of dairy RP numbers in the quarter one and quarter two numbers are a bit bearish at this point. I'm not sure that the input costs would justify those kinds of low coverages at this minute.
Well, Mike, it's always lovely to talk some Texas dairy. What can people expect next week on the show?
Well, next week we'll probably definitely be talking about a global trade event over in New Zealand, and that'll give us some fair comparisons as to what we're seeing pricing worldwide as well as the EU. And then we should have a dairy products report be released as well as an inventory report. But hopefully the timing on all of that comes to make our Wednesday report.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming out and talking some Texas dairy and the dairy industry with us.
Oh, my pleasure, Bryce. Thank you.
Well, that's it from us here at the KGNC Studios. Huge shout out and thank you to Mr. Mike Scouten out there at Mission Dairy for always coming out and giving us a dairy report. Don't forget, there's a new podcast episode of Pasture to Pavement, Agriculture, the Original Innovators, on Spotify as well as our Facebook page, which ties in to make sure that you like the Facebook page, KGNC Agribusiness News. That's where you can find the podcast episode on Spotify as well as the website. And don't forget to catch us tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. to 6. And don't forget the Newsday Ag segment from 6 a.m. to 6:30 tomorrow morning. I'm Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your Wednesday morning.